Proverbs chapter 6 says, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. If you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go, hasten, and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep, and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes and signals with his feet, points with his finger, with perverted heart desires evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment he will be broken beyond healing. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers." My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. To preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Can a man carry fire next to his chest, and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes into his wife's neighbor. None who touch her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he is hungry. But if he is caught, he will pay sevenfold. He will give all the goods of his house. He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. He will get wounds and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. For jealousy makes a man furious, and he will not spare when he takes revenge. He will accept no compensation. He will refuse, though you multiply gifts. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, you are the wise one of all. And you tell us that if we ask for your wisdom, you'll give it generously. I ask that you will give us this wisdom today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
few weeks ago, I think it was William who was going over Jacob and his, no, it was Isaac actually. Isaac and Abimelech. That's what part of what prompted our discussion this morning about honesty. Isn't it about honesty? We're going to talk about honesty, right? Right?
Honesty is good.
We are talking about honesty.
We are.
We are talking about honesty. We're going to talk about honesty from the negative approach. Maybe. Yeah, it'll probably come into it too. And about Jacob and Esau and Isaac and the blessing. Is that all the way in? Doesn't it?
This sheet that's handed out is kind of like definitions. I'll kind of keep track of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just want to like read it to them?
Yeah, sure.
So when we speak about honesty, that would be, we got to understand our terms. Truth, truthful, and truthfulness are all derivatives of the quality of state of being in accordance with fact or reality.
And this is where it starts from. If we're going to talk about honesty or anything else, you got to start with the truth.
Right. If you are truthful, you are habitually telling or expressing what is true. Truthfulness is another synonym for honesty. Is it not working? The light's not on. Do we have any more batteries?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. So we're going to begin with truth. What is truth? John chapter 1:1-3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." A few verses later, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is Jesus Christ, who later in John 17:17 would say, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." The word of God is the truth. So, proper understanding of what is truth. What is truth? It is the proper understanding of what is. Aquinas defined truth as the adequation of things and the intellect. So it is the act of equalizing or making adequate between things and intellect. It's causing, it's trying to come to an understanding of things and intellect, the way that we reason and what we see. Because we lack understanding on our own, we lack the ability to know what truth is. Meaning that we see, but we do not perceive. We do not understand what we see.
We don't have enough experience to completely understand what we see. Whereas God has all experience, which is why He knows and is the source of truth.
Thank you. Knowledge, understanding, these are required in order to be able to understand what, to have the wisdom to understand what is. Because we lack understanding on our own, we lack the ability to know what truth is. God, who created all things, He gets to define, set the parameters, as well as, since He put it all together, He understands it. He understands all things and has given to us a framework for how to understand what is. He's given us this framework, and this framework is the Word of God. More specifically, it is the law of God as declared and given to us in the Scriptures, in the Bible.
This will be the law of God, that the moral law, which is expression of God's character.
To reject anything God has declared in the Bible is to reject a proper understanding of how things really are in this world and is therefore a rejection of truth. This really needs to be emphasized because we think that we get to decide what things are, how they are, based on our perception. Well, that doesn't look right. I don't think I agree with what the Scripture says there, so I'm not going to do it, and it's still okay. And you are wrong. People nowadays speak of having their own truth, or say, this is my truth, or, well, that is your truth. This is an attempt to make the one referred to a God, as in a creator of what is. So if you say, well, this is my truth, what you're saying is, I'm God, and I get to decide. I have created, and I get to set the parameters.
So there's a differentiation here between truth and experience. So you can legitimately say, this is what I'm experiencing. And that is, in a sense, true for you, that you are experiencing that. But that
this
doesn't mean
translate it.
Does not mean that what you're experiencing is actually true. But it is what you're experiencing.
Things are only one way. Things are certainly something at a certain point. Like, this is what it is, and it can't be two things. We may see it differently between you and I. We may see it differently, but either one of us is wrong or both of us are. But we can't both be right. You can't have your truth and I have my truth. It's not truth.
And they actually both be truth.
Right. It would be appropriate to say what I believe or what you believe. People don't like this statement because it leaves open the possibility that they may be wrong. Other words, they may not be God. All right?
Questions?
Yeah. You got any questions?
Also appropriate to say you're wrong.
Right? But you're wrong based on Scripture. I'm guilty of saying you're wrong when it's more based on my perception. Because I believe in my perception over your perception any day. Because I think I'm God. And that would be wrong. Okay, I ain't.
Well, you do have legitimately have your perception.
Yeah.
And according to your perception, they could be wrong. But you have to be humble enough to admit your perception could be wrong and a false base to make that decision on.
I don't agree. This is the way I see it.
A lot better ways than that. Honesty is an adjective. Oh, okay.
So, can't there be different aspects? I see you sitting in the chair, but also see you looking at the room. Those are both true facts, right? So, if somebody said he's looking at, he holds a microphone in his hand. The person says he also he's sitting in the chair. Two people are right.
But those two statements are not contradictory. They're complementary.
If one person were to say he's sitting down and the other one says he's standing up, talking about Benjamin, Benjamin is sitting in the chair, Benjamin is standing up. Those are contradictory statements. They cannot both mutually
at the same time.
Yeah, they can't happen at the same time. And that's typically what
I'm not talking about any statement, you're talking about
contradictory statements. Yes, there can be, God has made multiple statements in Scripture about many, many, many different things. All of those statements are simultaneously and eternally true. Yeah. We're talking about when God says he made them male and female, and we say, well, actually, I think that there are 3,300 other genders. Like, you're wrong. God said there are two. That's it. The end of the conversation, because God is the one that created it. Just because you don't understand, you don't get that, doesn't make you right. Just because you don't believe in gravity doesn't mean it's not there. When you jump off, y'all familiar with that joke about the guy who believed that he was dead? He couldn't get it out of his head. He believed he was dead. Finally, they talked him into going and seeing the psychiatrist. Talks through it to him, and he explained, no, I'm dead, this, that, and the other. He's like, well, dead people do this, do dead people do that? He's like, well, apparently, because I'm doing it. And he's like, okay. Do dead people bleed? He's like, well, of course not, dead people don't bleed, because dead people are dead. And part of being dead is that you don't believe. You're not bleed, you're whatnot. The doctor's like, great, come here. I'm not attacking you, but come here, let me do this. And he cut him. The man started to bleed. He looked down. He's like, well, doctor, guess what? Dead people do bleed. Okay? We are convinced of what we believe, and we will not be persuaded otherwise because we think we're God. My thoughts are more important than what God has said. When we look at Scripture and we see that Scripture says this is truth, and we go, well, I don't agree with that. I am wrong. God is not. Let God be true and every man a liar. But it's going to be directly in connection with what was said. Right? So, the borrower is slave to the lender. Right? Scripture says the borrower is slave to the lender. Great. Well, I don't agree with that. Okay.
You're free to be wrong.
That's right. I'm also free to misunderstand what God said too, right? Because sometimes that takes place. People use Scripture to beat over the head of other people.
That's being wrong.
Yes, well, what I'm saying is I could say I'm going to use this Scripture as proof for what I think.
Misuse it, you mean?
It would be a misuse, but I may not see it as a misuse.
Sure.
I may really genuinely, look, when I get to heaven, I have no doubt that God is going to say, son, we need to talk about what you believe. Because it ain't right. I'm saying, well, thank you for your mercy. I wasn't getting here because of what I believed. I was getting here because of you. And I'll say that sarcastically. I mean, genuinely, okay? But I do not think that everything that I believe about Scripture to be 100% correct. I don't know what's wrong, but I'm very likely not to get it all right. Okay, so. Anyone else?
Would you say there are some fundamental truths there that we don't have to budge about saying believe that we can be absolutely. less, what's the word, presumptive, presumptuous, or cocky, I guess, or not.
I think that there is an element of have to. We have to, in this world, make an assessment, say this is what I believe, and I'm going to die by it.
If you don't land somewhere and just decide this is where I'm going to land, you're going to be pushed around by every other idea that's out there. You got to land somewhere. Then maybe you realize later, God reveals to you later, I really ought to be a little bit that way from where I am right now. And so you just adjust as God reveals it to you.
We're on the rock. We are not the rock.
But there is fundamentally a rock that you need to be on. It's fundamentally God that is that rock, the one true God. The one God above all other gods. Is right.
Well, that's an example of what I'm getting at.
Exactly.
It's that fundamental.
Yep. But there aren't that many fundamentals, though. I mean, there's not as many fundamentals as people like to argue about being fundamental. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. You get 10 Christians in separate rooms and tell them right now fundamentals of faith. There'll be 10 different.
There'll be a few, though, that are all the same. And those are actually the
right,
fundamentals.
Yeah. The list will be too long, generally, from my perspective, that I believe.
That's right.
And I think God intentionally left it vague on a number of those issues so that we have to love one another and not beat each other up on the truth. Yeah.
All right. So honesty then is the quality, as a noun, it's the quality of being honest. I don't like the word fair, but integrity, having integrity. As an adjective, it describes a person, the person who is honest, who, shouldn't honest be the noun? I think honest is the noun. Honesty is the adjective. That the person is honest.
Honest Joe. He
I guess
it, honest.
There are different ways to say that, I guess. And so we're going to contrast that with being dishonest. Obviously, dishonesty is to being dishonest is not being honest. But to actually understand as examples of dishonesty would be the practice of lying or being deceitful. Deceiving would be a way of being deceitful, I would think, right?
Yes.
Because we don't want to say that deceiving is deception.
Right. So, I think it's important, as we're trying to place these words in a certain spot and understand them in reference to these other words. Deceit and deception, we do not believe are the same thing. Okay? They're I want to say fundamentally different.
Well, they're based on the intent.
Exactly.
So I don't know, they're fundamentally, they're just application. It's a different application. It's a source. Where's the source of what you're doing?
And that's why I think fundamental. The foundation of it.
Fundamentally, they have a different
source.
I'll
also write down a definition of fundamental.
No. Right. Yeah. So we have to be careful. So I think that you might want to change that word under dishonesty to practice of deceit to be more accurate.
Practice of deceit or
mm-hmm.
dishonesty.
Mm-hmm. Deceiving is
dishonesty with practice of deceiving. It's bad intent.
Well, but deception is a form of deceiving.
You like deceit.
I like deceit. I think it's more clear.
Well, I don't want to get too grammarly here, but
Well, you talk about dishonesty.
Dishonesty would be.
Or deception. It says now.
Yeah, I think that would be a verb. Act of causing. That would be. Deception would be something you do, so it would be a verb. Right? A noun is some, is a thing. I don't think deception is a thing. It's important, though. I mean, we didn't. You and I didn't just go over all this together, so we're kind of doing it on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Deception, something you do, can be a verb. Yeah, but it's not really a thing. It's not like something you can touch or hold or whatever. It's just it's something you do. I think we use it as a noun, but I don't think it's really a noun.
So I looked all these up. I did not come up with these myself.
Copy paste. Hmm? Copy paste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, interesting. This is not me. This is what the when you look up a definition, this is what it says it is.
Okay.
What do you see as the distinction? Because they look so similar.
Which one?
When I'm reading, deception and deceptive.
Intent.
Deception and deceptive.
Yeah.
Nothing. Deception, deceptive, deceptively. They're all the same. They're just variations of the same thing. Our distinction is between deception and deceit. Whereas deception does not require...
Okay.
Deceit requires there to be evil or malice intent.
Okay.
And we're being real careful with the idea of intent, because intent is something that you cannot know about somebody unless they express it to you, because you can't know their heart. It can look an awful like something, but you cannot actually know somebody's heart unless they express that this is why I did this. It can look an awful lot. You can make a very close judgment call, but I think you should always maintain some humility in that.
Unless Scripture has clearly said that when this action happens, it's coming from a heart of, and then you can understand intent, the motive behind it.
Yeah, but you have to be clear how you're defining that. So someone who's dishonest, prone to lying and deceit, and they include cheating and stealing there. All those would be also have an intent to harm and their dishonesty.
Intent to harm.
Whereas deception would be an act to cause someone to accept as truth what is not true. A trick, and which could be done without the intent to harm. But I wanna the next one down is the deceit. Like we got that word misleading again. Later we have misleading and no, we have manipulation and steering later. See, I think deception, deceptive has the word misleading there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's appropriate. I would like to leave it out of the definition of deceit. I like where it says the practice of concealing the truth to gain an advantage. And that advantage would be an advantage to the disadvantage of someone else. To gain advantage. An advantage to the harm of the other person. Yeah, problem. I mean, that same to fit. And you could leave off misleading below that as well. Deceitful is intending to deceive. Simply, it's pretty simple to me. You see these that are misleading.
Mm-hmm.
I would get those out of it. See, you already struck it out in this next one down in deceitfulness is where you struck it out. Synonyms, yeah, as a synonym. Don't use it as a synonym. Okay, do we need to go any more about these definitions? Anybody any questions about the definitions? All right, let's roll with deceit and lies. Condemn the script. Deceit and lies are condemned in Scripture. I believe that's what that's supposed to say. Mm-hmm. You want to read those?
Proverbs 12 says, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. What is the point of being a false witness?
Giving your impression of what happened so that it can, potentially the verdict will be favorable for you.
And not necessarily does it have to be favorable for you, but you're bringing something upon the one that you were witnessing against.
And it wouldn't be impression, it would be facts that are not true.
You're making a statement that is going to bring a judgment on the other individual. False witness. We have a witness in the stand, and they say, Joe, was Frank there the night? Did you see Frank there the night of the murder? And Joe says, this would be bad for Frank if I said this. Yes, I saw Frank there. He has been a false witness. He is uttering deceit. Deceit being the intent to harm the individual that you are lying about, that you're making a statement about. The truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. And as mentioned before there, evil is the intent to harm. Whatever I am doing it with an intent to hurt, to harm.
If you're evil.
That is evil. And to devise is to lay upon your bed and figure out ways to do this. Doesn't have to be upon your bed, but the Scripture speaks of that. Yeah. Sleep is departs from the wicked, from the evil man, until he has devised wickedness. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. And the connection here between peace is that it is good. It's lacking in deceit. No ill befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Lips who do not speak the truth disgust God. And when you disgust God, bad things happen to you.
I think he's right, actually, that there will be something that the false witness personally receives, because if their intent is evil on the other person, they're going to do something. Yeah, they're going to get some sort of, you know, revenge or some sort of satisfaction in it. Otherwise, I don't think they would do it. I mean, they have to have the intent. There's an intent. Something mm-hmm. drove the intent. So they may not get anything like monetarily or physically or stuff, but you can get other things besides stuff.
Yes?
You didn't say anything about fraud.
Where?
Fraud.
Where?
From on a previous page there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Fraud is that idea of deceptive practice in order to induce another to give up possession of property or surrender a right.
Deceitful practice.
Yeah, it's just fraud is just I was trying to define it because it's mentioned as a synonym for deceitfulness, being fraudulent or duplicitous, okay? Meaning that you are expressing one intent when you actually have another intent. So if I tell you I'm really trying to take care of you, sign here, and actually no one in this room would believe that what you signed was good for you, I'm being fraudulent.
deceitful. Not just deceptive, but deceitful.
Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter 6 says there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Find it really difficult to go against a statement like this, with saying that it is appropriate to have a lying tongue in certain instances, but not others, when Scripture puts forward that this is an abomination to God.
You could bold that as well.
Yeah. Both lying lips are an abomination, and again here, a lying tongue is an abomination. But similarly, could you ever find a place where it's okay to have haughty eyes? Could you find a place where it's okay to shed innocent blood? Can you find a place where it's okay to devise wicked plans? Wicked being against God's laws, making plans that are against God's laws, intentionally going against God's law. That's wicked. That is the definition of wicked. If you are wicked, you are intentionally going against God's law. Is there ever a point where you can make haste to run to evil? Running to intentionally bring harm against an individual, as in harm against God's law. Is there ever a point where it's okay to be a false witness who breathes out lies? Is it ever okay to sow discord among brothers? It's really difficult. I can't find it. I can't make the connection there to say it's okay to lie. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. God says, I can. I will.
So I found it interesting. I went back because I was interested in this. I know this is like, I mean, this is the word I grew up with, Jeremiah, deceitful above all things situation. But I thought it was interesting that the word that's rendered deceitful in Jeremiah is not the same word rendered deceitful in the other proverbs. In the other proverbs, the word is fundamentally means fraudulent. So, a false witness utters fraudulency. And fraudulence is found in the heart of those who devise evil in the Proverbs there. And then you come down to Jeremiah, and the word fundamentally means crooked or uneven. And then if you go forward to this desperately, is it wicked? But you have sick. I like that a lot better than ESV, which I think is wicked. It says desperately wicked. Did you? Maybe it's NASV that says it. But this does, to me, give it a little different flavor, the Jeremiah verse, a little different flavor. Because to me, when I read the heart is deceitful, it means like there's active attempts at malicious deception. That's the way I would define deceitful. But if you read it, I mean, if you look at the word, the heart is just all kind of uneven, all kind of going the wrong direction. It's all kind of, you know, instead of being straight, it's crooked, leading you off in the wrong direction. So, I mean, I think it'd be your personal ideas behind, a little, not personal, but you... I mean, that could be deceitful, I suppose. But I don't know. I'm not sure that it's as malicious as I first understood it to be. What do you think about that?
The NET translators.
More of a passive deception or deceitfulness versus an active.
Incurably deceitful is how the translators translate it, as in they put the human mind is deceitful, more deceitful than anything else. And it is incurably bad. They say, or it could be translated as incurably deceitful. It is incurable.
The word that's fine. The heart is the way it is.
Compare the usage with the verb in Genesis 27, 36. He has tripped me up 2 times. He's deceived me, taking away my birthright. Esau there.
The 61 and 21 is what they use there too? In Genesis? Which one was that?
61:17. Take by the heel.
61:17? Chapter 17?
No, 27:36.
Yeah, this is not 61:17. It's 61:21, which is they're going to be close because their numbers are close. But I'm not. I just wanted to point out that that's actually a different Hebrew word there. So cautious. Deceit defies the golden rule. So whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Loving your neighbor as yourself, basically. Do you see how you can not be deceitful and be following the golden rule? Nobody honest with themselves, haha, pun intended, is going to want somebody to be deceitful to them.
Yeah, just in contrast, I can think of times when I would want someone to be deceptive towards me. And it would be loving your neighbor as yourself. Or they would be loving me as himself. We talked about this like in boxing. You ever heard of a feint? It's a deception. It's not deceiving, it's deception. And what makes it appropriate is...
It is deceiving, but it's not deceitful.
No, I see. I would say in boxing.
Wait, where's our definition? That's what
it's not deceiving,
say.
Also, because it's not for ill intent. I am not trying to incur harm on you. Now we got to find what harm
that's
is.
That's deceitful.
But deceptive. Where I'm deceptive, the game is we have decided that we're going to play this game called boxing, or whatever you know. But there's going to be a feint. And in this feint, that's how the game is played. I'm good with it. You're good with it. We're going to practice. We're going to get better at this. If you play poker, you got the same idea where, you know, you ante up a little bit higher, a little bit higher, hoping that other people... Sure enough. Just cut out there, huh?
Red light, huh?
Yeah, but...
Is it not picking up?
Nope.
So, while you deceive?
Yeah. But you have, though, an element of, in a sense, you want to help yourself from harming them, even though it's not.
You've got to define what harm is.
Right.
Okay? I mean, if I damage your pride because you didn't win the game, have I harmed you? If you agree to play the game with me, and we understand that here's the loss and here's the benefit, you know, win-loss idea, it's called being a good loser, not being a sore loser to complain about what happened because you played the game.
By the rules.
By the rules.
The key there is by the rules.
By the rules.
Okay. I mean, I still seem like there's harm. But yeah, at the same time, it seems fair if you agree.
If that is harm, we can't do anything. We can't rub into each other at all in life.
There's if you do it for money, you harm the manager.
That's not a harm, though. That's just you don't get it. That's not a harmful.
That's like saying you brought food today, and we're going to eat it. We've harmed you. We've taken something from you.
But if you deceive somebody in business practice to get their money.
Yes, deceive. With the intent to harm them.
Because that's not the way you're supposed to play the game.
Okay.
Because it's not according to the rules.
And
who says the rules? Ultimately, God says the rules. There are cultural rules, and we talked about that. We talked about the whole buyer beware situation within buying and selling things, certain things. That's a cultural rule of buyer beware, right? The cultural rule could be, you must tell me everything or you have broke the cultural rule. But that's not the cultural rule necessarily. The cultural rule is, it's the buyer's responsibility to ask the questions. Buyer, beware. So if you follow the cultural rule, that's like playing the game according to the rules. Right? Now, you could choose to not follow the rules to the advantage of the other person if you want to.
It's like playing Uno.
It's like you could choose to box and say to yourself, I'm not going to do any feints. And you could still play according to the rules per se, because the rules don't say you have to do it.
Yes.
Says you can do it. So when you're playing according to the rules, that and the other person has agreed to play this game according to the rules, there's no harm in that. The outcome could be less advantageous or more advantageous for the person, but that's not harming them. Because they know the chances of the outcomes and they've agreed to be okay with whatever the outcome is. Yeah, I could win or I could lose. I could have to pay a bunch of money or I could get a bunch of money. I could end up with a lemon or I'll end up with a lemon. Like buying a car or something. So no, we would not define that as hurt, to their harm.
Who gets to define what hurt is? If we don't have a cultural understanding of harm, who is the one that gets to define it? And when can they change that definition? So
they can't change it in the middle.
Well, sure. If I'm the one that's defining harm, I can change when I feel like I'm getting hurt. I don't like what happened. And that's what it boils down to. There has to be solid rules. We, individually, don't get to just decide and change it up on the other person. I can change it up for me as long as I'm working within this set of rules, cultural rules. But for me to say, well, I don't like what you did, you can't do that. Okay. I mean,
there's a whole lot of that going on these days.
You ever play Monopoly with somebody when you know the rules and they don't care to read them? You get called a cheater a lot. I didn't cheat. It says it right here. Well, I don't like that. The rules were here. Nobody was keeping them from you. But you wanted to play the game. Play the game. Nobody's hurting you. You're not following the rules. You're not playing wisely in accordance with the rules. Now, I would say that if you go over to, California, they got some weird cultural rules. And I say that they're weird based upon the effect of those cultural rules on society. And it's disjoint, okay? And then probably if I got into the particulars, we find that they weren't consistent with the law of God either, which is why they're destructive to society, all right? But with as long as the cultural rules are consistent with the law of God, God gives us this permission, this, hey, I want you to learn how to rule yourself too. Here's the basic groundwork. Do what is good and productive that brings life, that's good for everyone. Not the individual. The individual doesn't get to decide that for everybody else. He can do it for himself, but not for everybody else. He still has to follow the rules, cultural rules. Yeah. So this is how we would define harm. And that harm is going against God's law or against the cultural rules. That's, yeah. Appreciate the question. Yeah. Yes.
But cultural rules do change. You know, they're different in different places. Different areas of the world have different cultural rules. And so...
Right now, cultural rules is we need to be nice.
That's against God's law.
And so therefore we can...
Right. You have,
cultural rules are always subject to God's law.
God's law first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So just put...
And the individual... And as an individual, an individual can't just decide... Well, I don't like the cultural rules. I'm going to make my new cultural rule. You know, at that point, you go, I mean, if you were going to test it or whatever, you just get 100 people and you ask them all independently, which way is this, right or wrong? And then the cultural, the majority would come back with a decision, and that would be the decision for the culture. You know, it's like a jury of peers situation. I mean, obviously, then that's how you define a culture, is the people deciding.
You sound very democratic.
I didn't say. I mean, well, in the culture, it is.
In my family, I'm the one who decides the culture. It's not democratic.
You decide the culture of your family, though.
Exactly, but that's my point. In our family, I'm deciding the culture based on elder wisdom. Okay, well, and similarly, I'm not against the democratic entirely. But there's this element of, you don't get to decide. I don't care if you're like, we can kill our babies. It's okay. I know, that goes against God's law.
Yeah,
too.
Pick something that doesn't go against God's law. Something.
I don't like this.
There's an element of both, actually. There is an element of representation. And in our culture, famous people a lot of times will drive it in a direction.
Yeah.
That's like you, in a sense, driving your family in a direction, right? I mean, in a sense.
Except up laws.
I get that. It's not perfect. But I'm just saying. But there is a sense. But then what happened is they can go, they've been driving, okay? They've been driving in a direction, and all of a sudden, everybody else said, nah, we're done. We ain't going that way anymore. And it's going back the other way to some degree. So there is a way in which the majority can, if they exercise their power, pull it back a different direction than the cultural authorities want to go. That's the way I see it. I mean, it can definitely move, can be moved by both.
I'm not sure there's as much flexibility as it might seem if you hold to what God actually says.
We're only talking about the culture thing, which is, as a Christian... Yes, we can't go with a culture that is against God's law. It's like, for us, if the culture, you know, it's like a box, God's law is a box, and if culture ends up over here, we just should bump up against the box of God's law and say, well, I can't go that far. And we'll have to act in a way different than the culture of that situation. So in order to talk about culture, I have to purposely set aside for the moment the whole aspect of the law of God for a Christian. We would not set it aside at all in our application as a Christian, but in learning and trying to understand what is culture and a cultural rule, that I personally have to just talk in one term or the other. Does that make any sense?
I think so.
So to be dishonest then is to describe actions of a person and the that practice untruth to harm others. Anything you do to be untruthful intentionally is dishonest, including lying and deceit. So what is lying? Lying is a verb, which means to make a statement you know is not true. The ninth commandment says, you shall not bear false witness. And bears in caps because there's an aspect of doing. When you bear something, you're doing something. As in making a statement. So false witness is not something that would be, it's an active process, not a passive process.
Question.
Yep.
Would it be better to say, practice an untruth, which harms others? In other words, just for the kids listening.
I missed the first word there. It's in the definition. You said what? Practicing?
It says persons that practice untruth to harm others. So I just want to make sure, you know, because somebody might read that and say, well, as long as I'm not harming others, then I'm okay because I'm not doing it. It's not harming others. But the reality is, like y'all were just saying, it automatically harms others. So
dishonesty?
Yeah, untruth, which harms others, you know, instead of to harm others.
Well, the two indicates the forethought intention. Because you could unintentionally harm somebody by... you will always harm somebody with lying. Because you're not practicing God's law at that point. You're not loving them, right?
Yeah, we're going to have to go into the two types of lying.
Two types of,
yeah, in the sense that
making an untrue statement.
Yes, so
because I don't call the other one lying; I call it being wrong, making a mistake. It's making an untrue statement without the intent to harm.
Yeah, but yes, no. What I'm getting at is, even if you know something to be true, you may be mistaken that it's true. So. Even if I'm telling the truth, I'm still lying. I think I'm telling the truth. I'm trying to tell the truth, but I'm not. I'm telling something that is not true, and that is not true is still a lie. And it would still be bearing false witness. It is, because there is a definite truth. And if I'm not speaking that, then I am not speaking the truth. But the way that we're defining lying here is the way that frequently it is referenced in Scripture. Dealing with what you understand to be. I mean, not that you have chosen for it to be.
Well, it's in our definition. You know it is not true. You're describing a situation where you think it is true, which means you don't know it's untrue. This is the opposite of that.
If you've lived, there is a point where you're never 100% positive that you know what happened. You should be skeptical of yourself that you know what happened. So,
well, what happened? Or it's broader than what happened. It's
what I think happened.
What is truth? What is truth? Could be what happened, or what is, or what a lot of things. I'm just broadening it out.
Yeah, and if we shrink it down to a, you witness something taking place.
As an example. Right.
You saw it. You can say, this is what I saw. However, I may not have interpreted what I saw well. I may have misunderstood what I saw, but this is what I saw.
You could have actually seen it wrong, too.
I misunderstood what I saw, but this is what I saw, as I understand it.
Right.
I can only speak in the sense of this is how I understand it.
Right.
We're very fallible creatures, okay?
Yep.
But we are still called upon to make decisions, to make calls. It's risky. It's really, really risky. But we're still called to. And the reason we're called to is because we're supposed to be trusting God.
Yeah. So in one case, you are a liar when you did know it was not true and you said it anyway. In the other case, you are just wrong.
And that's how you're defined.
You thought it was true, so you said it, but it turned out it wasn't true. That's just being wrong. That's not being a liar. To me.
Yeah.
I mean, to try to tease out the two different definitions.
Yeah, cool.
One is being wrong, one is being a liar. Which comes around to where, like, you know, I think everybody probably to some degree, but especially young people, you know, somebody says something to you and you think, that's not right, you're a liar. You know, hang on a second, they could just be wrong. So be careful about throwing around the label. You have to actually know that they knew it wasn't right to really be a liar.
Can you address white lies?
There's no such thing as a white lie. Telling somebody something that isn't true on purpose so that you don't hurt their feelings is still a lie. It's telling something that you know is untrue. Yeah, well, if you're false in your thought of what is true, what is good and right. So the problem there is that you don't. The problem is that usually happens when you think that you only have two options. Is the fallacy of what is that? What is that called? I always can't remember. The fallacy of a false dilemma. You think I can either tell the truth, which will I believe, I anticipate hurt somebody. Emotionally, usually, or I can tell them something that I know is not true, and then I think that will not hurt them emotionally. Do you think you only have two choices? That's the false dilemma. That's the fallacy. You have a third choice. You can say something totally different. You can refuse the answer to the question. There's lots of ways you can not lie in that situation. So I suggest, I would put forward, you should choose not to lie. Choose not to say something that you know is not true. Because God says that's not a good thing to do, so don't do it. And it may look like to us it's not a big deal, but we have to go past what looks to us to what God says. He says it's a big deal. Don't do it. So, okay, don't do it. Choose something else. And it's not, and it's a fallacy to think there's only the two choices. We got a little ahead of ourselves there, but that's all right. Ahead of our notes. So. We get to where we definitely get to Isaac and Esau and Jacob. Where Jacob lied to Isaac. I mean, it's clear he knew what he was saying when he said, "I am Esau." He knew he was not. Therefore, he said something that he knew was not true. That's a lie. We have the wiggle room for Isaac and Abimelech because of possibly this cultural idea that might have fit in there. For sure doesn't seem that way to me, but I'm not going to judge completely on that one. Abraham did not lie because Sarah was his sister, his half-sister, the type of sister. What was the other one? There was another one. There was three different.
Rachel and Leah.
Laban. Yeah. Again, I think Laban was deceptive. I don't know if he intended to cause Jacob harm. I guess we're not told, because we're not told what his motive was.
The testimony of Jacob and his daughters would say they believed him to be deceiving them, that there was an ill intent. Change his wages 10 times, sold us.
Yeah, but His sole purpose was not just to benefit himself,
but to actually harm him.
That's where.
Well,
I don't think he really.
In his own mind, thinking, "Hey, I'm not hurting him. He's getting a good woman."
Well, that's justifying it.
That's all gonna work out. But I mean, you know, in his own mind, he's not just saying.
He would have had to on the front end when Jacob walks into town. And he first of all, he would everything about his welcoming and all that would have also been a deception and a lie, in a sense. Saying, "Oh, I'm glad you're here," when he knew he wasn't, that would be a lie from the start. And he'd be like, "I wish he wasn't here. How can I make him go away? How can I hurt him? How can I just destroy him in order for him to..." To me, that would have to have been in his head to drive this idea that I'm going to slip Leah in here and get her married off first, and I'm going to do this so that I can hurt Jacob. I don't like him. I'm going to hurt him. Versus, oh, here's an opportunity for me to benefit myself. I don't think it'll hurt him. I'm not really caring if it hurts him or not. I don't know. We don't have all the information.
I think I see where you're coming from.
He was I mean, absolutely 100% deceptive.
But it's incredibly unlikely that he was thinking, "I'd be okay if somebody did that with me."
I didn't say he was following the golden rule. That's a different thing. I mean, it's related, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. It doesn't work toward our definition of the terms and what's actually going on.
But we do. I have put there that deceit defies the golden rule. So if that's the case, then he would have been deceitful.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's sort of something you came up with. So
I'm just saying. Wish that others would do for you, do also to them. That is the law of the prophets.
It is.
Plus, he made an agreement to do something and he's not doing it.
Well, he's just doing it later.
That's breaking a contract.
No, he didn't do it later. He did it for another 7 years.
That is true. He did it for another 7 years. He did break the contract.
And so, then he always had that thing of, why didn't he didn't really technically, he's not going to fail break the contract because he might have been perfectly willing to give it to him and say, "Yeah, I owe you her, but you hadn't taken her yet, didn't ask for yet."
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
So if he would have said, in other words, Jacob should have. I'm getting Rachel.
Which to the person wiggling is just being like crafty and wise, and to the person getting wiggled against, they're being at the very minimum deceptive, possibly deceitful.
So,
but they're not really following does it appear they're following the golden rule, the what's the word I'm looking for? Flavor of the golden rule.
All that could have taken place behind the scenes, we didn't know.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, because if I'm Jacob, I'm like, "Nah, you're giving me, Rachel, and you're giving me Rachel. Right now. I paid the price, and I'm getting Rachel."
So, if someone says, "I'm going to purchase this from you," and they hand you, "I'm going to buy this vehicle from you for $10,000. They hand you an envelope full of cash. You look at "Thanks, man. Good." You sign the title over to him and walk away.
Give him a different title.
No. And
then that's what he did.
Then he counts the money, and he finds that it's not 10 grand. Guess who made the mistake?
Well, that doesn't mean I ain't going to try to rectify it.
And he's like, "Look, that's bad. You gave me the title. I gave you the cash."
The other way around, but yeah.
You didn't count.
Okay. Now, what I'm saying is, Rachel, or Leah, was given to Jacob. He did not verify the goods, pardon the expression. He did not verify before he entered in to the contract. That's his blunder. That does not take Laban's fault away. But we can't. Jacob's at fault here too. He's rash.
Seems more like Jacob handing him the 10 grand.
Yeah,
and then Laban handed him a title, but it wasn't the title for the truck, it was a title for a car.
But
I agree with that.
It's just the reality. They signed on the dotted line. They did not check. He did not read the material.
Yeah, but let's take the analogy even further. Jacob handed him the title, but Jacob signed the title before he looked to see what he got.
That's what I'm saying.
So he made a mistake. He said, oh my gosh.
Laban did not do him right, but he just went along with it. They're both at fault, and he can't turn around and say, well, you owe me. No, no, that's yours now. You bought it, buddy.
You just bought
it. For life.
Yeah, I said I was going to do something, but I didn't.
If I was on the, saying my vows, she's got her veil on, and I can't see who's behind that veil, I'm an idiot.
Did he say, I don't think the pastor says, this is Rachel?
Laban? No. He doesn't say he said it. He doesn't say, here's Rachel. Now, if he said that, he would have lied, knowing it wasn't Rachel.
The point is, hey, you give me this extra wife, now where's my wife? You know what I'm saying? It just depends on the details that we don't know.
I see what you're saying. What you're saying is Jacob could have said, well, thanks for Leah, but give me Rachel. I paid for Rachel.
Yeah.
You know. I can't help it that you don't want anything for Leah. You just want to give her to me.
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying.
No, yeah.
Be kind of like you got that title for the other car, and you're like, well, thanks for the free car. Now give me the truck I actually paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacob.
Yeah.
When the fellow worked 7 years to fulfill the contract, how can you call him rash?
It was in the morning that he went, oh no, it's Leah. That's right.
It's when he signed the title before he turned over and looked at, oh, well, this is for the car, not for the truck. Just a moment of there of indiscretion. He was so excited about getting his truck, he forgot to check the title. It happens. Youthful.
Exuberance.
In discussion.
7 years.
Yeah, that was all gone. He'd done that. He had the money. Have we clearly done lying?
I think so. Do y'all have any questions about lying? It's a statement. It's a statement.
Some sort of statement. You can say it, you can write it, you can what?
Sign it.
So we covered the difference between deceitfulness and lying. It involves a statement and a communication. Deception. Remember deception? Your intent is intentionally inconsistent with your words or actions. You're doing something that's different than your words or actions. Your intent. Deceit is deception with malice or ill will toward the other individual. Do you want to go through this whole deceit thing here?
All right. Deceit is intending to not do good to the other person while acting like you intend to do them good. It is a form of evil. Evil is the intent to harm. Harm is defined by God's law. It is a form of duplicity. It is intentionally misleading or tricking someone by concealing the truth or providing false information. So taking away or adding to, when one of the motives is to hurt that person, to harm that person. Seeking to distort the truth to hurt another. It is a form of dishonesty. It is a lack of integrity. Integrity defined as a moral quality. It refers to being honest, having strong principles, and doing the right thing even when no one is watching.
which takes us back to the golden rule. Psalm 62 says, how long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood and deceit. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. They put forward one thing, but their intent is to curse. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This passage contrasts doing righteousness, good work, with deceiving and being deceived, with being evil. And what it is that informs you is the law of God, is the sacred writings which make you wise. Okay? They bring you to Christ, who is the source of truth, the Word. So I think that's as far as I would like to go with it. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. I think we've hit most everything. Oh, we didn't do swearing under oath. You want to do that?
Sure.
So we did have a question about, what if you've sworn under oath? Then you have your choices. You know, if you asked a question, you're under oath. In a sense, we're always under oath to tell the truth before God, right? Whether we take an oath or not. So, but don't forget about the false dilemma in that situation. You have the right to remain silent. At least in America, you do. Actually, you have it forever. There may be some consequences for exercising your right.
There is an understanding in Scripture that there is a solemnity about certain statements that are different than others. It does not negate the importance of speaking the truth at all times, but you can say, like the wedding vow, it is a special occasion where you are making a special statement. There is just some distinction in Scripture in
sure.
that regard. But, yeah.
Your yes should be yes and your no should be no. And if you practice that, then you won't have any problems.
Meaning that you're not looking for a loophole saying, well, I was holding my fingers this way, so it really didn't matter, you know, whatever. That's just... Well, you're not
it's just
doing,
deceitful.
It is. It's not doing what you would have done to you.
Well, unless you're playing the game, cultural game. But you're outside the law of God, then. Can't play that cultural game. Questions?
If you're in the context of a game, what is your position on? Because there are games out there that were that's the deal is that you lie during the game. Is that similar to the thing you're saying? You made this agreement like a boxing match that you can be deceitful or that different thing.
It is contrary to the law of God, so that is an evil game.
Yeah, you're going to end up.
A wicked game.
You're going to end up practicing something that you're going to want to. You're going to end up. I mean, it's like. Why would you practice tennis if you don't want to play tennis? If you don't want to get better? You don't get better at it if you practice it.
Right. Fools make a mock at sin. They make a game of sin.
But the difference between deception and deceit/lying. Lying is a form of deceit. So
that's good.
a game with deception in it is not the same as a game with deceit in it. Good question, huh? Very applicable. All right, that's it.
Everybody can be completely honest. All the time.